Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Ready to get back into the book of Job. And here we have Job answering his three friends who you would be better off to have a whole army of enemy than you would them. Why? They're taking the traditions of men and yakety, yakety, yakety. Not trying to understand the situation. And I have no doubt in my mind from the way Job drops hints occasionally that any one of these had come to him in the past with problems and he'd fixed them up. I mean, he'd emotionally raised them up, financially raised them up. But here we got all three of them against him at his low ebb. Just simply going on the premise of traditions that the wicked always suffer and pay. That's why a rich man, when he loses everything, is bound to be the wickedest of all wicked. Well, that's kind of like malicious gossip. If you don't have the facts, God works on facts and truth, not hearsay, not gossip. You see, the real enemy is Satan, and everybody is punching holes in the air and blowing hot air, trying to figure out what's wrong with Job. And all it is Satan, kind of after him. Why? Because he is symbolic of God's elect, as you are today. So, keep your guard up. We have power over him in the name of Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus the Christ. And a word of wisdom from him, chapter 16, verse 9, let's go with it. Job still answering those three that continue cutting at him, calling him a liar and a few other things. Verse 9, and it reads, "He teareth me in his wrath, who hateth me. He gnasheth upon me with his teeth. Mine enemy sharpeneth his eye upon me." Or he aims at the very center of my problem. This is the more or less in the feline, which means using a cat as the analogy up to a big cat, the way it tears and rips and so forth. Verse 10. We're going back up to 8. Did we have 8 there? Well, we better cover it, all right? Because it's interesting. We're back up to verse 8. You may not have it, be that as it may. 16:8. "And thou hast filled me with wrinkles, which is a witness against me, and my leanness riseth up in me, beareth witness to my face." I'm glad we did recover that, because I thought it had been covered in the last lecture. Because what he's saying is, I realize that the way I look, and he's got these boils on him, he's lost a tremendous amount of weight, skin and bones. He said, "My look witnesses against me that I might be wicked or something else, but my soul is still pure." I know it may look like that I'm down and out, but I'm not. My condition bears false witness of me, basically, is what he said. And then he continues on about how that even though his appearance would bear false witness, look like he's the nut of the decades, they continue to tear at him even while he's down. Now let's pick it up with verse 10 and we go with it. "They have gapped upon me with their mouth." This is to say his friends. "They have smitten me upon the cheek reproachfully. They have gathered themselves together against me." The others even joined in. You know, Job was rather a powerful man, and God had blessed him. He earned it because he loved the Lord. That's obvious, because he's not really blaming God here. Even if God killed him, as it stated, he would still trust him. Verse 11, "God hath delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over into the hands of the wicked." Now there, Job is getting just right on center of the truth. The wicked one, Satan. God turned everything but Job's soul over to Satan. Now, you must understand that, let's update this to this day and time. Satan is not even one of God's elect today, inasmuch as Christ paid the price by giving his life on the cross, that in his name we have power over Satan, your soul isn't protected from him unless you use the authority. So you want to keep on guard about that. You want to think about it. But God had put a fence around Job's soul because he knew Job would not bend, that Job wouldn't break. And boy, I tell you, the depths Job went to, he must be a very remarkable man. But he knows God isn't doing it. At least he says here, God delivered, or he's letting the ungodly work on him. 12. I was at ease. I had it made, you might say. But he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark. That's to say, like the cat eyes looking upon him like he was a target, the mark being, if you would, a target. Caught me off guard. I was rich. I was at ease. I had it. I loved God. And I was totally taken off guard. Everything went downhill all at one time. And it did. Remember back to chapter 1, 13. His archers compass me round about. He cleaveth my reins asunder. I mean, they're ready to shoot from all directions. I'm the target, and my very insides are asunder, and doth not spare. He poureth out my gall upon the ground. He shoots all around, and then finally he hits the mark, all right? By all around, one by one, he took away his riches, and two by two, he took away his children, his livestock, 14. He breaketh me with breach upon breach. He runneth upon me like a giant, like a warrior with everything planned. Hey, Satan is no puny. You want to bear that in mind. He can think of more wickedness to do to one if they let him, if they would be willing to let him. He will take your life, turn it upside down and inside out. Breach after breach, meaning attack after attack. Just don't let him. It's that simple. 15. I have sewed sackcloth upon my skin and defiled my horn in the dust. A horn is symbolic of power. And when an animal has their horn in the dust, they're as good as dead. They're usually unconscious at that time. My power is in the dirt. 16. My face is foul with weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death, or the shadow of the grave. I just feel like my flesh is about dead. And Satan had taken that old flesh and wrung it out good. But there's one thing about it. He was still innocent. He had done nothing to deserve all this. The tears had flowed, no doubt, in begging our Father. But our Father knows Job, the same as he knows all of his elect. And those of you that may be a little disconcerned with this and think God is being unfair, God knows his children. I'm talking about election now, not those with free will. I'm talking about the elect, if not the very elect. But I would have you read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Where God will never place more on you than you can handle, and he will always show you a way out. So God is not going to allow Job to have more placed upon him than he can handle. So that's why my admiration for Job flows strong, because our Father alone knows how much was heaped on him. A lot. 17. Not for any injustice in mine hands, I'm innocent. Also, my prayer is pure. My word to the Father, I haven't lied to him. I have repented with honesty. Verse 18, O earth, cover not thou my blood, and let my cry have no place, or let it have no rest. Let my cry for vengeance have no rest. And he is crying for that vengeance. And don't worry, God's ready. God will take it. Cover not thou my blood is a sign for to cover a murder victim. Don't let that happen. Don't let me die in that way, basically, as to be murdered, taken under. God won. 19. Also now, behold, my witness is in heaven. Now listen carefully to this. Weigh it well. My witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. Beloved, this very statement is why I tell you your letter in some church, and I'm not saying this to offend some church. Hey, if you want to pile up a dozen letters, hey, there's no sin in it. But I guarantee you it may not do you a whole lot of good. It's according to what is written in the book of life, your record that is kept by God. For you see, God doesn't trust men, even in churches, to keep records necessarily. There again, I know I may offend some, but that's God's way. God's going to judge himself. He's not going to let man judge. Sorry, like it or lump it. That's the way it is. That's the fact. And that's what God goes by. So you better keep your record in heaven clean. It doesn't matter what men say about you. It's what God knows about you. And he knows all about you. Verse 20. My friends scorn me. Look at them, the three of them. Ratchet jaws. Ratchety, ratchety. But mine eye poureth out tears unto God. I'm honest with God. I'm open. I know I'm innocent. Verse 21. All that I might plead for a man with God, as a man pleadeth for his neighbor. You know, many translations have this, the manuscripts, the Son of God. Oh, but that the Son of God, or the Son of Man, rather. Son of Man, hear me. Who is the Son of Man? It's God, Christ in the flesh. And we can attribute to this that Christ is our intercessor to God to plead with him now. In other words, we have a different set of circumstances, but yet not all that different as far as records are concerned. But what a difference it makes to have an intercessor that can take name and kick dragon if you order him in that name away from you. He must obey. That prayer maybe was placed there by our Father for our own relief in this generation and those behind us since the crucifixion. 22. When a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. And of course, he knew. It didn't matter what happened to him as he completed. He knew that soon he would be returning where his record was in heaven, and he wouldn't have to listen to these three yo-yos any longer. This is a hurtful thing. I know I call them yo-yos, and I call them ratchet jaws, but at one time when Job was the one that was giving the input to the raising up financially and spiritually, Job was a good old boy. But when Job didn't have a dime, his best friends turned on him. That hurts. You know, an enemy to turn on you is an expected thing. But even as a friend betrayed Christ to the executioners, so Job was betrayed by his best friends. And he should have been a little more careful who he picked for friends, quite frankly. You'll remember that they were from Esau and others. I mean, what can you expect? Though there are good Christians among the remnants of these peoples. But as far as being scholarly, well, you kind of, kind after kind is the best way to follow because they are of your persuasion. So Job continues. So let's just take it right on in chapter 17 as he continues this same address. And he says, my breath is corrupt. This would be better translated, my spirit, all right? For it is the breath of life. His spirit is corrupt, it's spent. I'm about through. My days are extinct, the graves are ready for me. I think I'm really very near death. And I'm sure it wouldn't be too difficult with the problems that had been laid upon him to maybe even dream about that too. Are there not mockers with me? And naturally there were three of them, and others had no doubt joined. And doth not mine eye continue in their provocation? They bring my trial to me, and it's false. Three, lay down now, put me in a surety with thee. Who is he that will strike hands with me? In other words, who is going to strike hands with me? That is to say, to shake hands and take my side, to take my part. Verse 4. For thou hast hid their heart, their mind, from understanding. Therefore shalt thou not exalt them. In other words, this is kind of a prayer, and he's saying, for goodness sakes, don't let them triumph. They don't know what they're talking about. Truth is hid from them. They can't understand that I am innocent. They keep accusing me and laying it upon me. This gossip, this nonsense. For heaven's sakes, Father, don't let them win. Verse 5. He that speaketh flattery to his friends, that's to say to teach for profit, to witness or flatter people for gain. Even the eyes of his children shall fail. There will be vain, empty. There's no profit in lies, all right? 6. He hath made me also a byword of the people. And aforetime I was as a tabret. Before, I was like a drum making good music to them, and they liked me. But now I've got to where I'm just a byword. Before, people would speak flatteries to his friends and go along with the crowd. You know, when you teach truth, the crowd's not going with you, my friend. You might as well get your mind set to that. They didn't in the time of Job. They didn't in the time of Christ. And they're not going to in your time. But that gives you no excuse not to stick to the truth and the true word of God, the correct interpretation. I don't care. I will use myself as an example. I teach God's word, and I'm true. I don't care what people do with it, because it would make no difference whether I did or not. And don't think that's flippant. It's not. It's just that only God can cause a seed to grow. It's out of my hand after I teach it. And what you do with it is your business. And you won't hear me hammering. You certainly will never see me beg. I mean, it's yours to do with as you choose or as God allows. So, but don't go along with the crowd. Think for yourself. That's what you must do. I'm going to tell you what. The crowd has always been wrong, the majority. They were wrong at Christ's crucifixion, when they cried, crucify him, and they have been wrong coming out the gate. But you always have that few that will focus on the plan of Almighty God and not take it out of context and let it flow as God gave it. Then you've got a champion of the people. Verse 7. Mine eye also is dim by reason of sorrow. I've cried, my eyes are swollen, and all my members, my limbs, my joints, are as a shadow. I'm so skinny, I just look like a shadow. I don't hardly cast a shadow. I'm wasted away. A upright man shall be astonished at this, and the innocent shall stir up himself against the hypocrite. At treatment of an innocent by friends, people, it would stir them up. Well, you would think it would. If an innocent person was treated the way they're treating him, you would think that somebody would come to his side. God has, don't worry. God just hasn't acted yet. Satan's doing all the acting so far. Why? God loves Job. God knows that Job can cut it. He can handle this. 9. The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Job holds fast his intelligence, his intellect. You do the same. Know that God is right and just, and keep plowing into the facts and the data, rather, until you receive the facts. And then you will know that everything is okay. 10. But as for you all, do ye return and come now? For I cannot find one wise man among you. I like that. You want to, in other words, they're taking round after round. He says, you want to try another round? Go ahead, because I haven't found one wise man in the whole bunch of you. Hey, that's my kind of person. Because, you know, when somebody, all they can deal with is ratchet jaw traditions of men from a pulpit or anywhere else, he's not much. That's not wisdom. That's compare yourself, if you're a ratchet jaw of what tradition say, compare yourself to a parrot, because that's all a parrot speaks is what he hears. A mocker, 11. That's really a nice compliment for one that enjoys winning friends and influencing people. Verse 11. My days are past. My purpose are broken off. Even the thoughts of my heart. Getting down to where I imagine because of lack of nutrition and so forth and sickness, probably that would apply very well. Verse 12. They changed the night into day. Now listen to this real good. These friends of mine change night into day. The light is short because of darkness. Who is the prince of darkness? This is how they reason. And this is how people reason utilizing the traditions of men. They just parrot everything they've ever heard over and over, and they can't get past that. It's amazing. It's like Satan puts a mental block on reality in their minds. For heart should be translated mind. 13. If I wait, the grave is mine house. I have made my bed in the darkness. 14. I have said to corruption, that is to say to the grave or the pit, thou art my father. To the worm, thou art my mother and my sister. He's speaking here on behalf of the flesh, not his soul. You understand? You must divide the flesh from the soul. Thus his statement concerning in the prior chapter, verse 19, that his record is on high, all right? Verse 15, and where is now my hope, my prosperity? I mean, look at him, look around him. He didn't have any prosperity, it was ripped away. As for my people, who shall see it? He didn't really have any people left. 16, they shall go down to the bars of the pit when our rest together is in the dust. The mortal, yes. The soul, no. The soul never goes to the dust. Your documentation for that is both Ecclesiastes chapter 9, which separates the flesh from the soul. In other words, Ecclesiastes 9 has to do with flesh only, that it goes back to dirt and nobody remembers it. But Ecclesiastes 12:7 declares that instantly, when this flesh goes back to dirt, that the spirit, the intellect of the soul, meaning the soul, goes instantly to the Father that gave it. So, mortal man, yes. I suppose Job at this time was the mortal man, the flesh man, can cause the flesh body can cause you a great deal of pain. Chapter 18, verse 1, let's have the second round from Bildad. Bildad meaning the son of contention. And he'll probably have a little contending to do here. Job kind of was, he said, I don't see a wise statement or word from the whole bunch of you. Well, you know, Bildad's not going to appreciate that very much. Most men that are stupid don't like to be called stupid. And God will call them stupid before it's over with. Men that speak without knowledge, that's stupid, all right? They've come from God's mouth, not mine. Chapter 18, verse 1. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite, and he said, the son of contention, verse 2, how long will it be ere ye make an end of words? Mark, and afterwards we will speak. In other words, will you set up a snare of words, words, words? He's accusing Job of ratchet jawing here. When are you going to shut your mouth and listen to us talk? And Job did give a pretty long answer that time. It's just that they throw many insults into their terminology. Job only said, I don't see anyone wise among you. That kind of upset him. Verse 3. Wherefore are we counted as beasts and reputed vile in your sight? They didn't like it. I don't guess anybody likes being called that. Well, it was true. Like it or lump it, hot air is hot air. People can tell the difference between truth and hot air from some spokesperson. Verse 4. He teareth himself in his anger. And shall the earth be forsaken for thee? This is really kind of a smart mouth now. And shall the rock be removed out of his place? He indicates that Job wants the divine administration to give way to his wants and needs. Job, you know, I have studied diligently in more language than one what we've covered up to this point. And not one time has Job asked for divine intervention for his own benefit. That is to say, let me rephrase that, else you don't understand what I mean, or else I did not word it correctly. Job wants no divine intervention on his behalf other than what is normal for any other person. Okay? This guy is trying to say, you just want a special attention when you're guilty of all sin, and you want special attention from the divine Godhead to declare you innocent. You want the world to stop turning for you, don't you, Job? Job had never given any indication of uppiness or loftiness. Verse 5. Quite the contrary, I might add. Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. Now, do you realize that? That's a true statement. If they don't convert, I want to show you how Satan can use true statements. That is a true statement. The light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. That's true. Verse 6. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle. Without God in your tabernacle, there is no light. Got it? And his candles shall be put out with him. It's gone forever. Well, that in a sense is kind of true. 7. The steps of his strength shall be straighted. I mean, he's going to kind of totter, the wicked is. And his own counsel shall cast him down. It's going to trip him up. That's very true. Verse 8. Now you stay awake for me. I'm going to... I mean, he's going to kind of totter, the wicked is. And his own counsel shall cast him down. It's going to trip him up. That's very true. Verse 8. Now you stay awake for me. I'm going to pull something on you here in just a minute. You notice I'm agreeing with that. Bildad, he's making true statements here. But bear in mind, focus on the subject. And who is being discussed here? The wicked. 8. For he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walketh upon a snare. In other words, his own feet carry him into an animal trap. A wicked person does. In other words, he's going to leave enough clues behind and and first one thing and the other till he's going to be caught. 9. The gin shall take him by the heel, and the robber shall prevail against him. I want you to scratch that word robber and write noose. It is a gross mistranslation, and I'll tell you why in a moment. Verse 10. The snare is laid for him in the ground, and a trap for him in his way. In other words, that is 6 different methods of traps and traps that are utilized to entrap a small animal. And Satan has his little boys change the word noose to robber so that Satan's little old number 6 isn't on it. It's just an interesting point. But, I mean, you know, these are kind of true statements. And it's Bildad, the son of contention, that is saying them. But so that you don't go to sleep on me, it's true, this is true, but let me ask you a question. What in the world has this got to do with Job? Not one cotton-picking thing. That's a good old southern term meaning nada, all right? Not one thing does it have to do with Job. Why? Job is not wicked. Job is innocent. These nutheads, these cases of bags of cracked nuts, can't accept the fact Job is innocent. And they keep ranting on and on. I mean, they just know why. It's tradition. That much happened to a man, he's wicked. That just isn't the way God works. So make sure you never fall into this same trap of judging people. Leave judgment up to God. And don't let Satan off the hook. 11, terrors shall make him afraid on every side, and shall drive him to his feet. Well, he's always afraid of getting caught. His feet will lead him into a bad path. He'll leave the path of righteousness, is what it really means. 12, his strength shall be hunger-bitten, and his destruction shall be ready at his side. He's going to be paralyzed with fear. And a bad, wicked person is. They're afraid of their own shadow. Why? They don't want to be caught. 13. It shall, again, I would ask, that's true. These are, anyone could say this, and it's a correct fact. But it doesn't have anything to do with Job. All right? 13. It shall devour the strength of his skin. Even the firstborn of death shall devour his strength. Let me ask you this. Who is the firstborn of death? By that, let me rephrase it. Who was the first entity to be sentenced to death by Almighty God? It happened in the first earth age, to give you a clue. The firstborn of death is Satan, of course. And he's knocking pretty close to the door here. Yeah, that's right. And how true it is that Satan is the firstborn of death. 14, don't follow his example. 14. His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the king of terrors. And again, who is the king of terrors? It's Satan. Verse 15, we'll stop there for this lecture. It shall dwell in his tabernacle because it is none of his. Brimstone shall be scattered upon its habitation. This is translated by various people to say, he has magic herbs scattered in his tent and sulfur outside to protect him. And others simply, and probably as correctly, that he has a right to be frightened, that the blame is upon him anyway. 16, I'm going to go ahead and finish this chapter. His roots shall be dried up beneath, and above shall his branch be cut off. He's going to die, be cut off. This is pretty interesting because Job has been. He's making the case fit the participant of discussion as far as losses are concerned now. 17, letting you, being wiser than the man that is speaking, understand how he came to this decision because Job was destroyed. 17, his remembrance shall perish from the earth, and he shall have no name in the street. That's for the flesh, that's exactly correct. Verse 18, he shall be driven from the light into darkness and chased out of the world. That is to say, the land of the living. Yep, you got that right. 19. He shall never have son nor nephew among his people, nor any remaining in his dwellings. Now, that's cutting. That is really cutting. You know why? Job doesn't have any relatives left. They were all killed. Therefore, you can see this man's mind, why he's coming to, again, to this conclusion. 20. They that come after him shall be esteemed at his day, as they that went before him before were affrighted. Men everywhere from east and west and from before and after will wonder at someone of this nature. 21. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him that knoweth not God. What he's saying is, Job, you don't know God because these things happen to you. After following a line of true statements that happened to the wicked, there's just one problem. Job was not wicked. So he missed the mark totally, completely. So be very careful, my friend, who you listen to. Be wiser than the serpent. Satan will try many things to entrap you. And if you allow yourself to be caught up in traditions of men without checking out with wisdom the word itself, you're in trouble. You have a lot to worry about. For one simple reason, man's not going to judge you. You know, as he said, if you flatter and puff up and blow up men, hey, they'll give you an A+. An A+ is easy to derive at pleasing men with men pleasers. But you might be hell-bent at the same time if you're not pleasing God. So why not please God and hope that it pleases men? And if it doesn't, tough anyway. All right? Please your father. He's the judge. And at least gain enough mentality that you are able to focus on facts. That's what is important. And the base of all truths is the Word of God. That is your governor on earth, is the base of all truths is formulated in the Word of God, whether it's science, fiction, or general life, all right, reality. God's Word will never lead you wrong, and wisdom is anchored there. See that you nourish it, cherish it, love it. And he will love you. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?